Support for WVIA Pop Shop comes from the F.M. Kirby Center for the Performing Arts in downtown Wilkes-Barre, presenting concerts, comedy, family entertainment, and community events in a historic theater. Information and upcoming events at kirbycenter.org.
Hi, I'm Alan Austin.
And I'm Patrick Hamilton.
Welcome to Pop Shop. Here, stories on the screen inspire conversations about the real world off of it.
And this week, it's a veritable potpourri of topics, because we're going to be looking at trailers for some upcoming films, taking a little bit of a break from our recent spate of summer blockbusters. We might even dip into the comments on YouTube and bring out some of our favorites. And also, we're going to announce some changes to the show that are coming up soon.
If you are liking the show, please make sure that you actually smash that like button, that you find the way to turn on your notifications, that you subscribe.
And WVIA's Pop Shop is brought to you by our friends at the F.M. Kirby Center, who we'll be talking with a bit later in the show.
So let's see what's coming out. I think we're going to start with One Night Only.
Okay.
Which is a rom-com.
Kind of.
Well, I got really hooked on one thing in the trailer that I had a hard time getting past.
Yes.
And it's this throwaway line.
I think it's the same throwaway line that I
have. Where he says, in New York City, which looks like our New York City.
Largely.
Pretty much, right? If you're single, you can only have sex one night a year.
Yes, it is. The quote is that it takes place on the one night single people can legally have sex. So basically,
and it's the legal part of it.
Yes. It's basically like The Purge, if The Purge was a rom-com.
But it shouldn't be a rom-com, number one.
No,
and number two, it feels like there's a lot of world building that needs to be done before you can even get to the traditional rom-com setup here.
That, or that is the entirety of the world building, is just that one line, and we just kind of move on from there.
That would be fair.
It is, because you're right. It does seem like it's kind of taking place in a quasi-dystopian kind of world where single people are apparently not allowed to have sex or date, I guess.
Dystopia is precisely what I have in my notes. Yeah, yet, it's a very weird world to set. What is otherwise, I think, what seems to be a very traditional rom-com, meet cute, problems ensue, will they get together? Mm-hmm. Almost certainly they will.
Yeah, kind the of premise story of the film seems here. To be like, over the course of the night, various things happen that kind of keep them apart.
As you would expect in any, you know, well-done rom-com, which means, for me, this movie comes down to what every rom-com comes down to, really two things, chemistry and construction or writing. That if it's well-written and if the stars have chemistry, it's probably going to be pretty watchable.
Yeah.
And if one of those things isn't working, it won't be.
So do you have a sense of those working from the trailer?
I feel like you're asking me that it's time, like, should we break out the anticipometer again, that scale of 1 to 10?
I'm just glad you actually said it right for once.
Oh, the anticipometer?
No.
It's tomato, tomato. Yeah. Kara, which do you prefer?
Either. I don't know.
That was definitive.
Does not care at all. Not very interested that she's delivering. You know, for me, it probably comes in around a 6.
Okay.
Like, I'd go see it if there's nothing else to see on the weekend. But given just that trailer, it is a little bit intriguing to think about this dystopian world.
Yes. That's what's kind of got me hooked in that. I'm kind of curious to see what that ends up being, because you're right, in the trailer it's just this one line that I'm like, there's a lot that goes behind that line, so I am intrigued. Absent that line, it does look like kind of a pretty much by the book kind of rom-com premise. So
for sure, one of my fears is that it's a trailer that might give too much away. If you're right, the dystopian thing is just thrown away in one line, and then the rest of it is what you see there. You almost see the entire story arc, I think, played in. I think we've talked about trailers before, and we generally agree you don't want a trailer that says too much in that way, which is harder to do than not.
Yeah.
Before we move on, though, real quickly, if you had one rom-com that's at the top of your favorite list of rom-coms for everybody who's watching right now, what would it be?
I'd probably go When Harry Met Sally.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, why do I say really? I'd say that's generally considered a, are you a big rom-com guy?
Not really.
Okay.
It's not a genre that I gravitate to.
Yeah.
Until they do a superhero rom-com, and then I will be all on board with that. Which also, why haven't they done a superhero rom-com yet? That seems like a very obvious genre to go into.
I wonder if they have done a rom-com and we just missed it along the
way. Well, I don't think they did.
Nah, they don't do a lot of romance, actually.
No, they don't. Yeah.
So, Kara, your favorite rom-com?
You guys are putting me on the spot.
Well,
I'd like to point out it's largely been Alex so far.
Entirely. I mean, just trying to spice up the rom-com conversation.
Oh, as if talking to me about it.
I'm going to say my favorite musical is Grease, and it's kind of a rom-com. So it's
in the kind of in the rom-com category.
I like that you're stretching the boundaries. Yeah. Oh, you, Patrick, will allow it.
I will allow it.
So you should feel pretty good about that.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
Yep. So I was like, I like rom-com's probably not my number one go-to.
Yeah.
But I would pick It Happened One Night, the 1934 Capra film.
Of course you would.
I know. It seems snooty, mm-hmm. but it's really authentic. Every time I watch it, it's still funny.
Okay.
All right. So
I'll let you have that one, too.
Is that enough on rom-coms?
I suppose.
Okay. Unless you want to, do you have more to say?
Literally all I had was that one line.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. It's.
Yeah.
Speaking of dystopia.
Yes.
The end of Oak Street.
And also trailers that maybe don't tell the whole story.
If this one told the whole story, it would be. Yeah. This is kind of a twisty film, right? Where you're not supposed to understand. Anyway, like in this film.
Yes. Do you want to mention the name of the film?
Didn't I say The End of Oak Street?
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Kara's nodding.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
It's okay. Every once in a while, I do talk over here. So it stars Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
And Ewan McGregor.
So quality cast.
It's got, big time stars in it.
Yep.
They are playing, as far as I can tell, overwrought, bedraggled parents who find themselves and their street somehow moved out of space and or time so that they cannot escape Oak Street.
Yes.
And that it's now filled with dinosaurs.
Yes, it's basically Jurassic Suburb.
Oh, I had a different... My way of thinking of it was if A Quiet Place and Jurassic Park had a baby, it might look something like this.
Maybe, but they're able to talk.
Who's able to talk?
The people in End of Oak Street.
No, that's true, but they can talk in Jurassic Park. They get the speaky part from their Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Genius.
So what are they getting from Quiet Place?
I don't know. It's just a dystopian place where you have to hide and shelter in place and you have to be very careful.
Kind of like Jurassic Park.
Monsters running. Well, maybe it's just Jurassic. but this has more of a horror. To me, the trailer was really interesting and either really interesting or problematic.
Okay.
And that it tonally was very different. Sometimes it was kind of funnier and lighter.
Yeah.
And then another time you see a dinosaur grabbing a neighbor by the head and running off with her. Figuring that balance is hard.
One of the things that struck me is there are moments I'm like, is this kind of a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids kind of like 1980s family comedy adventure? Because it has a weird reference. Those moments. And then the dinosaur seems to rip someone's head off. And it kind of this one. Also, Ewan McGregor looks very 70s in the outfit that he's wearing.
It's true.
So I'm trying to figure out, is this a period piece or what is this? So it's a very odd film.
An odd collection of bits and parts and what that all adds up to. Plus, there's the one line where he says, God will protect us.
Yes.
And then, his wife says, we go to church once a year on Christmas. So maybe it's going to ask big theological questions.
Yeah, the kid said it's so God wasn't protecting our neighbors or something like that, which is a funny little bit.
It's like Mark Twain's The War Prayer from way back when, where he says, every time you pray for yourself surviving, you're praying for other people to suffer.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a really existential film that's asking deep...
It is produced by J.J. Abrams, so it does possibly have kind of that losty twistiness to it.
Where are we on J.J. Abrams nowadays?
Well, I'm rewatching Lost right now for fun, so I'm still a big J.J. Abrams fan. He's been a little more hit or miss.
His film work, though, in particular?
The Star Wars universe didn't do great.
Right. His first Star Trek, I still remember liking.
Star Trek was good. Deal. Yeah, I mean, he's been a little more hit or miss lately.
Yeah.
But I still like an Abrams movie.
Did he do an Avengers movie, too?
No.
No?
No. That was Joss Whedon.
Oh, that was Whedon.
And then the Russos.
I know the Russos. Yeah,
I don't think Abrams has been involved with the MCU at all.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So the anticipometer?
I'll probably give it, I'll say a 7.5.
Okay.
I'm kind of between a 7 and 8. So
I'm still at a 6.
You're always at a 6. Except for superhero movies, then you're at a 10 because you do love the superhero slot.
Oh, Kara, where are you on the first two? We forgot to ask about the rom-com.
No, we did. Or no, we asked what her favorite one was.
Yeah, right. How do you feel about, are you going to go see it?
One Night Only?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
Okay. So is it a zero?
It's a good thing. It's not on the schedule for show then.
I think I would watch it when it comes out on streaming, but to sit in at the theater to watch it, it doesn't intrigue me enough.
Putting it on the schedule doesn't mean Kara's going to watch it, by the way.
That is also true.
We should be super clear about that. Like, that's 50-50.
Plus, so, you might go and see it and fall asleep.
How are you feeling about the end of Oak Street?
Very possible. And I'm excited to see that. Okay. I love Anne Hathaway, Owen. It looks very adventure-filled and mysterious and suspenseful, and I like those kind of films, so I'm excited to see that one.
Excellent. Right. So we got one that we're kind of okay on, and one that, like, there's momentum building.
Yes.
And that's a good place to be when we hit the third that we want to preview.
Speaking of momentum building.
Lanterns.
Yes.
Which is coming on streaming on August 16th.
August 16th, yes. Yeah. The next streaming series in the DC movie universe, which I'm not sure what the official name of that is these days, but it's the James Gunn-led DC universe, which conveniently,
yes.
Lanterns has always, and just since the failure of Supergirl, been the next big film or thing in the DC universe. It was always Superman, then Lanterns, apparently.
So,
as has been clarified recently.
Did you just describe Supergirl as a failure?
That seems like that's the general consensus. Not so much on Pop Shop, but I think that the
well,
world
I think,
has not embraced it.
I think we need to clarify, because in the comments there was some confusion, I think, about my position on Supergirl.
Now, let's get to that. It's pretty after Lanterns.
Tepid. Yeah. Like, so, but I know you and Carol loved it. So
I enjoyed it. I don't know that I loved it, but we'll get to that.
Now we're, Kara's rolling her eyes. I think she senses some backpedaling on somebody's
part. I enjoyed
it.
I thought it was fun. I didn't think it was perfect, but it was good.
That's true.
It was perfectly fun. But Lanterns.
If only it had been. Yes.
Which, based on the concept of the Green Lanterns, is very brown in how it looks.
People have been complaining about the color palette. Yeah. This tells the story of Hal Jordan, who seems to be phasing out of his role.
Possibly.
As Green Lantern, and training John Stewart.
Yes.
To take his place, which
it
is
seems
not
to be the
canonical, right? That's not generally how a new Green Lantern arrives.
No, that we've covered. We taught the issue where he trains John Stewart when John Stewart first shows up.
Oh, that's way back when.
We have.
I thought Green Lantern had to die.
They've always had a backup Green Lantern. And so originally it was Hal Jordan was the main.
Yeah.
Guy Gardner was the backup. But then in Green Lantern, Green Arrow 87, Guy Gardner gets in an accident and is in a hospital.
Okay.
So they have to have another backup, and that's when John Stewart gets tapped.
Crazy.
So there's always supposed to be two. I mean, obviously there's way more than that at this point on Earth. But yeah, so there always is sort of two.
Oh,
there's the main one and the backup.
So one of my favorite parts here of this entire trailer is there's not a lot of Guy Gardner in it.
No.
I don't care for him. I didn't care for him in the comics. Did he arrive in the 90s?
No, he's
80s?
From like the 70s.
Guy Gardner is that old?
Yeah.
Comics?
Again, in the
was
comic book we have taught,
he is
already the backup Green Lantern in Green Lantern Gear.
Back then?
I don't remember that. I don't remember if he was as much of a jerk as he became.
I guess I think of him only as like the 90s, really.
Yeah.
Like what he is now. Bad attitude.
The Justice League, the Demetrius Maguire version of the Justice League, where he was kind of a jerk.
Dude, I don't care for that character.
I think he was a little more jerky, but I don't know if he was quite to the extent that he eventually became.
Yeah, I don't need him. But this does have Neil Pierre as John Stewart. Did you see Rebel Ridge?
I'm sorry, do you mean Aaron Pierre?
Oh my, yes, that's exactly what my notes say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Rebel Ridge?
No.
I am not on my game today. You saw it, right, Kara?
Rebel Ridge.
Yeah, he was brilliant in that.
I think I remember you guys talking about that.
Yeah, very, very. So I think the casting is really good here.
Yeah.
If he's going to be John Stewart, he does show up in the next Superman film, right?
Oh,
is that my understanding?
Oh, I don't know that.
I thought that I saw that somewhere. But
it wouldn't surprise
me. He would certainly be a really, really terrific choice for Green Lantern. And that's the nicest thing I'm going to say about superhero stuff.
Yeah, like, I do have to say in terms of the trailer that the line where Hal Jordan says, "You can have this ring over my dead body," I fear that might be telegraphing something that may be happening in the show.
I feel as if, yes, given that Stewart's going to be the Green Lantern in the movie,
seems
as
like
I understand it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
which is one of the things interesting, because obviously for people of our age, Hal Jordan is the classic Green Lantern.
Right.
But thanks to the Justice League animated series from the late 90s, the
2000s,
there's a lot of people that John Stewart is kind of their classic Green Lantern.
It's the right choice, probably. I like seeing kind of an old, bedraggled Hal Jordan if I have to see him, you know, on his way.
Yeah.
Out. I didn't have high hopes stepping into this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising to you? Probably not.
No.
I don't have high hopes leaving it.
Yeah.
But I'm not completely uninterested.
Yeah, my hope is that, because it's obviously taking place very much in kind of what seems like a Midwest-y, Western sort of area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping that they're in Desolation, which of course is another classic storyline from the Green Lantern, Green Arrow comic, and that
right.
or maybe a version of it in some way. But yeah, it's I'm intrigued, but it does have some oddness to it in terms of how it seems to be depicting the lanterns.
Yeah, and the, choosing the setting to be the West has some historical precedent, but is it interesting choice as well, grounding them that way in the real world, which could be like the hard traveling heroes.
And I'm kind of wondering of if they're Denny doing O'Neil, something you know, like maybe, that. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, if maybe we're doing kind of a take on that.
Yeah.
I'm also concerned about, you know, if this doesn't go well, I don't know what happens with the DCU and the and guns helming it going forward.
We can't have failure after failure. That,
yeah, like, it feels like at some point something's going to have to be done.
So the anticipometer?
I mean, I'm going to watch it regardless, so I guess I'll call it an 8.
And for me, it's a 4, but it probably becomes an 8 because it's going to be on the schedule for this show.
Oh, it definitely is.
So I'll have to watch.
I think everything we've talked about today is on the schedule for the show, so we'll be digging deeper into these things later.
Which is excellent. So, Patrick, as we move to the second segment, we're going to dig into some reader response.
Yes, but before we do that, we're going to talk to Gene from the Kirby Center about everything that's going on there.
And we are so happy to have Gene from the Kirby here to join us.
Yep.
And tell us all about what's going on.
So tomorrow on the 29th, we have Derek Huff from Dancing with the Stars. He's going to be there with his new tour, his Symphony of Dance Encore tour. We can't wait to have him back. Last time he was there, he gave us honestly one of the best shows that we've seen in a long time. So we're excited to see what he brings for this tour. We're hoping that he blows it out of the water. We know he's going to blow it out of the water. And his wife will be with him too, Haley Hugh. So, or Haley Huff, rather. So they'll be dancing together.
Excellent. Excellent. Very cool. Yeah. Anything else?
So on Friday, we have Britt Floyd. They're doing The Moon, The Wall, and Beyond. So they'll be touching on hits from The Dark Side of the Moon, The Wall, and then other hits on Pink Floyd's catalog that people really enjoy.
Very cool.
Are you a Pink Floyd guy yourself?
My father was. So by proxy, I think through osmosis, I became a Pink Floyd guy. So, but yeah, their laser light show is second to none. It's like being in an outdoor venue, but you're in the Kirby Center and you get to see.
Oh, so it's a laser light show of
the
cover band. Is it a cover band?
They're a tribute band. Okay. Yeah. But they have this high quality light show that they bring along with them.
Okay.
And it's like going to an outdoor and an arena show. It really is something to see.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Very cool.
And then on the Tuesday on August 4th, we have Cars. It's part of our Honesdale National Bank Big Screen Summer Series. Before that, we'll have Camp United. It starts at 11 a.m. And people can bring their kids for free. They can do activities. They'll get a free lunch. And then they'll get a book, too, to take home and read.
Oh, very cool.
And then they can stay for the movie.
And Cars is a classic.
Cars is a classic.
Right, absolutely.
Featuring everyone's favorite actor, Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, that's right, because he plays Mater the Truck, right?
He does.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a sentence rarely uttered. Everybody's favorite, and then it ends with Larry the Cable Guy. So,
I say that all the time. I don't know what you're talking about.
Totally fair enough. I guess we need to get her done.
Nicely done. Way to sneak the catchphrase in.
Don't think I don't understand.
Just hopefully not copyright in a way that we'll have to pay for.
Oh, I hope that's going to be okay, Kara.
But yeah, lots of things going on at the Kirby. Something for everyone, one might say.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Gene.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks, Gene, and thanks to the Kirby, as always, for their continued support for our programming.
That's right. And speaking of support for the programming, we're going to dig a little bit into the comments we've received on the show so far via the YouTube.
Yeah, and the YouTube gives us plenty of comments to work with.
Yes.
So can I start?
You certainly may.
I pulled one from @veteran without a sign.
Okay.
Who was writing about Masters of the Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes, they've tried to redo this movie/cartoon. And it just captured for me the tragedy of Masters of the Universe. I still think it's the best thing we've talked about in season 2. Now we're only 7 episodes in, but I don't think this is number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so in through 7, I don't want to rank this one. We're not done yet. I feel like it's the best we've seen, and nobody knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Nobody went to see it when it was here, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
And that's kind of tragic.
I also had Veteran Without a Sign mark because it seemed like they were going to go see it and then maybe report back, and we haven't heard from them yet. So I kind of had a wherefore art thou Veteran Without a Sign for GG.
Yeah,
in terms of whether or not you did watch the old one, new one, what your thoughts were.
The tragedy compounds.
Yes. Yes, it does.
What do you have?
So I wanted just to raise a point with Bamian Ketchum. who was commenting on
personal.
I forgot to write down which episode it was. But he made a comment about there only being five good MCU movies out of the, I think, 3,200
that
had been made.
That's appalling.
Yes, yes. There's obviously more. No, there's way more than
that. Or three?
No.
Yeah.
All four Avengers, the first three Captain America,
does not get there.
Thor, Black Panther, the first Guardians. I'm already at 10. There are at least, and that's just off the top of my head.
I would actually agree with you that there are more than five.
Thank you.
I might take the way out of there, but there's more than five.
Way, well, for sure. I think if you double it, that's way more, and I'm already at 10.
Well, I don't know. I'd miss some of your list. Okay. Right. So one of the things that struck me when we went to YouTube in particular, that we were about to become stars, that being on WVIA and being on YouTube was going to turn us into, like, stars that people would respect our opinion. And so I would like to turn to a response to the Mandalorian and Grogu episode from Donovan Cummings 3593. Let me give you the whole response and then my response to it.
Okay.
And this is from one of the clips that Kara pulled from the show.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's a split screen. I'm on the top and you're on the bottom. And we're talking about, this is where I say, like, the Mandalorians are really bad parents,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And you explain the culture of Mandalorians.
I do.
Right? So this is what he writes. Quote, guy on top should look into how Viltrumites raise and train their children if he thinks Mando is being abusive. LOL. Plus, Grogu is technically 50-some years old. So number one, Donovan has educated me on a couple science fiction facts I missed. Yep. But the thing that really stuck with me, guy on top. Like, I'm just a guy on top.
I think in Donovan's defense.
We're well into season two, and I'm just guy on top.
But in Donovan's.
Not even a name. It's unbelievable.
In Donovan's defense.
Just one more time. Guy on top.
Yes, in Donovan's defense, that was the first clip promoting the first episode of the new version.
Yes.
So it's perhaps fair that he did not have our names down pat in the first clip from the first episode that I don't think had aired yet.
I have three words for you.
Guy on top.
Guy on top. It's unbelievable. Like, the fame that I thought was, you know what I am now? Guy on top.
It could be worse. You could be guy on bottom who didn't even get mentioned.
Who goes
exactly.
Guy on bottom, uncredited.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it could be a lot worse. I mean, guy on top does have some perks to it, at least. There's an acknowledgement of your presence. I'm just holding, you know, the bottom of guy on top up, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So, do you have one more as we wrap?
Yeah, so I did one for Zach K549 on the Supergirl episode.
Yes.
Who took issue with many of the things that we talked about.
Everything
but
we talked
about.
One of
the things that he mentioned was how he felt Superman's innocence or love was sort of mocked in the film. I think both in the film and by audiences.
Yeah.
And I didn't really feel like that. It felt to me, particularly in the film, like Superman was the exemplar and everyone else in the film and how they went about superheroing, such as during the kaiju scene, was problematic.
That's what I thought made Superman unique.
Yeah.
I just want to point out, too, that I definitely do not celebrate the slop. I think I've been arguing superhero movies have been slop for about 5 years now.
I've sort of blocked that from my memory.
I know. He did, too, apparently. But there are some changes coming to the program.
Yes, we do have some changes coming. In that we will be removing from releasing the show on Tuesdays to Thursdays, which will allow us to bring our thoughts to you on the latest films and streaming shows or whatever else we want to talk about on pop culture even sooner, which will start with the next episode on Spider-Man Brand New Day, which will come to you on August 6th.
And as always, we want to say thank you for watching and listening. And to remember to like, to subscribe, to turn on those notifications, support the show, make sure you don't miss a moment of this merry mayhem.
Yes, and speaking of next week's show, it's going to be, as we said, on Spider-Man Brand New Day. Is it the dawn of a new era for Spidey and the MCU, or will it not be enough to wake audiences out of their superhero doldrums? Find out what we think next week on Pop Shop.
Come join the party.
Support for WVIA Pop Shop comes from the F.M. Kirby Center for the Performing Arts in downtown Wilkes-Barre, presenting concerts, comedy, family entertainment, and community events in a historic theater. Information and upcoming events at kirbycenter.org.